Blog Talk Radio.
Are you driven by a passion to discover your divine destiny, ready to discover your purpose and fulfill your God-given potential? You can at Church on the Mall, the Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, Sundays at 9 a.m. Rediscover the kingdom and discover your purpose, identity, and divine destiny. For more information, call 267-357-9816. The kingdom of God is now eternal, and it's your time. Don't miss your moment. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God will supply your needs. See you at Church on the Mall this Sunday at 9 a.m. The Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, Cheltenham Avenue and Washington Lane. It's your time for change. For more information, call 267-357-9816.
This is Dr. Lynn Robinson, and I approve this message.
This message paid for by the faithful supporters of Kingdom Vision Ministries International, the Kingdom Church on the Mall. Live the kingdom-driven life now.
Amen, amen. That's right. You can live it right now. Welcome to Kingdom New Birth Radio Broadcast. And I'm one half of the dynamic duo team of the Youngs, Ambassador Bradley Young. And I welcome all the other ambassadors of God's kingdom and his citizens of his kingdom to this evening's broadcast. Amen. I know Sunday is a very busy day for a lot of people. They get their services in the morning, their breakfast and spiritual food in the morning, afternoon. They call this the appetizer, amen. Appetizer. Sometimes the appetizer is the best meal. Amen. Hallelujah. Basically, one of the ones who's serving it is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So once again, I want to thank everyone that are logging in on Blog Talk Radio as well. Those who are logging in on www.blogtalkradio.com/newbirthradio, you have the opportunity to also call the teleconference line. The teleconference line is 347-215-7253. That's 347-215-7253. Call on in the broadcast. Amen. We open the lines at the end of the broadcast, and, you know, we begin to share thoughts and opinions, not opinions, but thoughts and comments and questions. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, right now, let's begin right now to acknowledge the greater one that lives in us. Amen. He gives us the ability to move and live and make us powerful like him. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you the glory. We give you all the honor and all the praise. We thank you, Father, for this is the day you have made. And yes, we're all rejoicing. We're all glad, Father God, that this day you have established this day for the foundation of this world. You established this day, God, concerning your kingdom, concerning the urgency of your kingdom, concerning the mandate, amen, concerning the very fact that you want us to be just like you. Amen. You create us in your image. You create us in your image and our likeness, in your likeness. You gave us dominion throughout all the earth. Amen. And then as though Adam and Eve bit the bait, you did not change your plan. So we had to be recreated back to our original status, which you got. Hallelujah. Become citizens of the kingdom. Become ambassadors. Hallelujah. Live a lifestyle of perfection. Amen. As we reconcile man back to God. And we thank you, Father, for that mandate, for that urgency that you put in the new birth. We became born again, Father God. You automatically gave us that urgency, hallelujah, that we must reconcile man back to God, hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for those who will listen, and they will continue to increase in spiritual wisdom, in spiritual knowledge, in spiritual understanding, in spiritual revelation of the perfect will for their lives, and that's to be just like you, Father, hallelujah, glory. You said, be holy, for you those, for he who called you is holy. You said, be holy. Because he is holy. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We thank you right now in advance for those who receive their healing this evening, for those who receive their deliverance this evening, and for those who receive miracles, especially the greatest miracle they can receive, Lord, is to receive you back into their life as their Lord, Savior, Master, Lord, and King. Glory to God. We thank you, Father, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Once again, we want to thank everyone for tuning in. The Kingdom New Birth Radio Broadcast, a broadcast that's on 7 days a week. From every Sunday through Friday is our Kingdom New Birth Radio Broadcast, and every Saturday morning is our Kids of the Kingdom Broadcast. I'd like to apologize for technical difficulties we've been having, amen, with Blog Talk Radio, amen, for regarding the broadcast for Friday and yesterday, amen, but we will return back, amen, we're back today, as a matter of fact, amen, but the Kids of the Kingdom will return back to you next Saturday, amen, glory to God, hallelujah. Now, the other announcement for this evening, tomorrow morning, is our Breakfast of Champions broadcast. Rebirth in a Kingdom Nation on Kingdom Studies and Prayer teleconference line at 5 a.m. with our leader ambassador, Leonard Robinson. Amen. I encourage you all to tune in at 5 a.m. Get blessed by the teaching as well. Amen. That number is 857-232-0155. It's 857-232-0155, and the conference code is 268-272. That's 268-272. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. All right. And unless you must dial the conference code to get through, the conference code is 268-272. That's 268-272. I always encourage you on all the broadcasts, always have your Bible. With your constitution, always have your note, take some, take notes on, amen, as well. For the Holy Spirit is always speaking, and it's good for us to always go back and read our notes, amen, and read the verses that we were taught on, amen. Glory to God, because the Holy Spirit is the teacher. You hear my voice right now, but you hear the Holy Spirit is the one that's teaching, and we're all students. I'm a student teacher because I'm learning as I'm teaching as well. Glory to God. That's what the Lord wants us all to be humble, to be teachable, and be childlike, amen. That's when transformation truly comes. In our life, when we become humble and childlike as a child, amen. Well, then, right after that 5 a.m. is our second session of our Kingdom Studies and Prayer. Amen. With our beloved sister, Ambassador Jennifer Rose, broadcast titled Kingdom Simplicity. Kingdom Simplicity with Ambassador Jennifer Rose. Amen. That number is 347-884-9953. That's 347-884-9953. Glory to God. Once again, tune in here, our sister, brother, sister, Ambassador Jennifer Rose broadcast Kingdom Simplicity. I encourage you to tune into her teaching as well. She's a very excellent teacher. All right. Glory to God. Announcers will return back to you at the closing of the broadcast. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We have been talking about understanding the words of Jesus, or listening to the word of Jesus, embracing the words of Jesus. We started out talking about the Word of God, how powerful and important for us to start reading our Word. The only way transformation is going to come is we must begin to read our Word. But here's the key to reading our Word. There are two things that must get developed in us as we read our Word. First thing to know, it must is three things. First, you must repent and embrace the revelation of the kingdom. The only message Jesus preached, the only message that he demonstrated as lifestyle as well. He didn't preach any other message. Amen. He did not preach faith. He did not preach prosperity. He did not preach tongues. Amen. He did not preach salvation. He didn't preach none of these other topics that we're preaching. They all were demonstrations of the kingdom. Salvation is a very important thing. We want to be born again. We want to be born again. We want to be priests. We want to be kings. And we want for salvation. But see, salvation was just the beginning stages of the process of us entering into the presence, entering into a new lifestyle now that we must live, that we're no longer of this world. We're no longer under the government of this world, but we're now under a new government. As Isaiah said, that Christ came to bring us a new government. It's actually our original government. Amen. And give us a lifestyle to live, not living the way the world thinks, all the way the world looks. So as we begin to embrace that first and begin to read the kingdom verses, Spirit himself will begin to adjust your lenses. Talk about that as well. Your lenses will be adjusted like you're going to an eye doctor and you can't see. Can you adjust your eyes? And your eyes is being adjusted. You're like, no, I can't see it right now. But the more he adjusts it, adjusts your lens, you can start seeing clearly. That's what the Holy Spirit does once you begin to read the verses of the kingdom. It's the kingdom verses that you read that will cause your eyes to be developed into kingdom lenses. Not only does read, then the other part that you must happen is you must begin to listen to teaching of the kingdom. Because then your ears will be developed into kingdom ears. You have to have a kingdom ear and kingdom eyes. To fully understand the kingdom. Amen. We talk about that. So it's very important for us to understand that Jesus Christ, he wants us to be just like him. And we had to understand that the heart of the kingdom is the mind of Christ. The heart of Christ and the mind of Christ is also the mind of his father. And I'm not going to bring a title up, but we've been talking about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom was in the heart. The kingdom of heaven. A kingdom was in the heart. Amen. We understand one of the most powerful things Jesus did. Right as he came on earth, when he began to command us to repent. In other words, repent. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has arrived. John the Baptist announced his coming. But Jesus announced his arrival. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven, he said, repent. John the Baptist said, repent first. He said, repent. He said, repent because he's coming. John the Baptist was preparing us for repentance. Then Jesus came and said the same thing. He came, he arrived, and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Meaning the kingdom of heaven has arrived. It's present. It's right in front of you now. It's ready to live in you and move through you. But in order for us to embrace the kingdom message, we must first repent. We can no longer look at the verses of Jesus and begin and take them as light as we once did in religion. We took the verses of Jesus and made it real light, because all we saw him was as a savior. I'm here to tell you today that he's more than a savior. He came here more to save you from going to hell, save you from fire, and to give you fire insurance. He came to give us a new life, a new mindset, a new identity. Amen. Our new status, our original status from God's plan from the very beginning. When God said, let us make man in our image, God held counsel with himself. God had a plan to create mankind in his image. And that very mind, that very infinite wisdom of God, the very mind and power of God, when he sent Christ to the earth, Christ came speaking the mind of God. And guess whose mind we have to speak now? We're speaking from the mind of God. The Holy Spirit that lives in us, that teaches us, is teaching us from the very thoughts, the very mind of God. So Jesus came teaching the culture of the kingdom. Amen. And one of the most powerful things he said during the culture, he taught the culture of the kingdom. I encourage you to read it over and over again. He taught the culture of the kingdom between Matthew chapter 5 all the way to 7 without stopping. And as you read the verses, he even began to come to the conclusion of teaching. They had to call it the Beatitudes. Some people call it the Sermon on the Mount, but he was not teaching a sermon. He was not preaching a sermon. He was teaching lifestyle. Amen. He was teaching, this is how you live in the kingdom. First thing he said was that, he said, for those who are poor in spirit, meaning humble, not in your pocket, you mean in your heart. He said, those who are humble, he said, those who are poor in spirit shall see the kingdom of God. Amen. That was his plan from the beginning. Amen. And then as he said, one of the most powerful things, when he said, when it came to pass, he concluded his teaching. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. Still talking about the words of Jesus. We're going to continue studying the words of Jesus. I believe the Lord wants us to study it. As we study in our own personal power, we begin to start teaching and talking about the words of Jesus. Then what will happen? That God will begin, your minds will begin to open up to truth. All the years we've been in religion, we were never taught to go back and study the words of Jesus as a child. We looked at the words of Jesus like teenagers and grown folks. We didn't go back and look at Jesus' words as a child, being humble and hungry and teachable for the words of your master. So it's Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, it says what? And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings. You see that? The people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And no wonder they were all amazed. For not only did Jesus show great authority when he changed the Ten Commandments, amen, but he told them to keep all the new ones if they want to enter into his gates. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5 and read a couple of jokes. We're going to talk about, he started teaching the Beatitudes, which is the culture of the kingdom. And we're going to have some stuff over Matthew chapter 5 and watch the culture. So we're going to continue the studying of his words. We're going to get his words in us. Amen. Because the words of Jesus will come alive in us. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 5. Well, I'm going to start it. Start at 17. But think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill the laws, to enforce the laws. Amen. He came to manifest the law in his lifestyle in itself. So the laws that God was supposed to be now, we took it off the tablets and now placed into our hearts. He said, "For verily I say unto you, to heaven and earth pass, one jot or one title or one tittle shall in that wise pass from the law, to all be fulfilled." And he came to fulfill it. So whoever, so then he said, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. We got people today that are not preaching or teaching. They're teaching this grace message that bucks up against the laws of God. They use words like the law of God was talking about. They use that verse when Paul said about, you're not under the law, you're under grace. You still must obey all the laws of the land. Amen. He said, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." The Pharisees were religious. They were traditional. Well, philosophy. They taught traditions of men. They didn't preach what Jesus said. That's why we said he did not teach as the scribes. So Jesus taught with authority. Keep on reading. He said, "You have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, it's a change, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Rocker shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever ever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire." Jesus changed from action to thoughts. That's why he's trying to change our mind. But what you say out your breath, you're thinking in your heart. You want to call him a fool, or just simple, or silly, all kinds of names, or stupid, all the names you think. He said, you already thought that in your heart. He also said something about even adultery. Look at what we're reading. "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and then remembrance that thy brother has ought against thee." He said, "Leave then thy gift before the altar and go thy way first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come offer thy gift." Jesus is in a reconciliation. He's not into drama and all kinds of stuff that's going on in the church today. He said, "Agree with thy adversary quickly while thou art in the way of him, lest any man, at any time, the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee into the office, and thou be cast into prison. Then verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the utmost farthing. Then you have heard that it was said by them of old," we talk about the old stuff, "thou not shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." You see this? So Jesus began to discuss about the difference between, he said, your fault. He says the way is, everybody says, well, he said, whoever is within a man, he said, whoever sees out the man's heart, what? His wickedness. It's your thoughts. It's why he said to repent. All kinds of stuff was going on in the old time. He had to change them. He said, you can put your wife away and she ain't cooked the food right. You can divorce her. It was all kinds of things that was going on. Jesus had to change. Amen. There's a lot of things, he said, because Moses had to create the laws because of the wickedness of the man, of men's hearts. So Jesus came to give us his mind. Glory to God. Amen.
one of the most powerful things Jesus said. It was in Matthew chapter 7 when he said, not everyone that said, the son of Matthew 7, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. Now, we stopped that just the other day. Lord, Lord shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, he said, not all that believe in Jesus Christ will enter his kingdom. You begin to talk about that. Amen. When you start talking about who will enter in at the straight gate, let's go to verse 12. 13. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there which go in thereat, I mean they go there, I mean another word for there, I mean they go a different direction. Now this straight is he talking about is the kingdom. He said, because straight is the gate, and now is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Then he began to go on to talk about the false prophets. He said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. He always, that points out right there. He said, when you get trained enough and equipped enough, you will know them. You will know who a false teacher is. You will know what a false prophet is. If you have his mind. See, we got to withdraw all thoughts and have them take on the mind of Christ. Paul gave us perfect examples when we talk about the mind of Christ. As a Philippians, man, let's go do that real quick. Keep that thinking here. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. In other words, the only way you're going to make it, you have to have the mind of Christ. Let's talk about Paul. Paul gave us an example on the mind of Christ. Several examples. Look in chapter 2. Verse 1. He said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Do you hear that? We ain't going to be all over the place. We have one mindset. That one mindset is the king. Paul was teaching all. Paul taught everyone that came after Jesus. Culture of the kingdom. If you do really study your Bible, see when the kingdom, when you develop a kingdom lens, you'll see kingdom all through Scripture. You see Jesus teaching culture. Paul was teaching culture. It was teaching the culture and the lifestyle of citizens of the kingdom. Orphan, you cannot. How are you going to be born again? How are you going to live a lifestyle if you don't know how to live it? Amen. And the only example they always gave was Christ's example. Let's keep on reading. He said, let nothing be done, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, as humility. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's about to remind you of the golden rule, right? He said, do as and others that you have them do. What you see how he's talking? He's teaching culture. And then he said, let this mind be in you. What mind? He just talked about things he just pointed out. He said, let this mind, I just told you, lowly of heart, humble, joy, love, amen, love and fellowship of Christ. He said, let that mind, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But made himself of no reputation. We all know Jesus never talked about himself. He always spoke on the Father. And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He came in the earth as a man, as the Son of Man, Jesus, and Christ the King. He said, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. That's all the persecutions and temptations he was receiving. And they say, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Once you become obedient to your name, once you became born again, is above every other name. You are a king. Once you, when you're humble, you'll be exalted before men. Amen. You have the privileges, you'll be exalted. Didn't Jesus say that? He said, for those who humble, he said, for those who exalt themselves based, but those who are humble shall be exalted. And God is the one that's going to exalt. Let's go back to Matthew 7. So he said, ye shall, and anything else, he said, beware of the false prophets. See, false prophets don't have the mind of Christ. False prophets don't have the heart of Christ. Now, I want to point this out. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to the church, the people of God. Amen. He said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. The most thing that he said something real powerful right here. He said, you shall know them by their fruit. He said, you shall know them. So you're supposed to know. Well, you got to be equipped to know. Paul said that in Ephesians. Said before that he said that. He said that you don't, he said, once you've been equipped and trained and perfected, he said, once you get it perfected and equipped and trained for the work of the ministry, he said that you, he said that you henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So when you get equipped and perfected and live a lifestyle as a citizen of the kingdom, being an ambassador for Christ, amen. He said you will know the difference. That's why a lot of us can't hear false teaching. You can't hear the thing. You know it's false. And it grieves your spirit. The Holy Spirit is already grieved. Now, at one time, it didn't grieve you. Now it does grieve you. Because now you have received a kingdom ear. See, a kingdom ear cannot digest false doctrine. He said, you shall know them by their fruits. He said, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs and thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. He said, you will know it. He said, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit, forth good fruit, is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by, he said it again. He's doing that fire, he's talking about, right? He's just going to say, wherefore, by their fruits, he said it again, you shall know them. Let's go to Ephesians. I'm going to show you how it says in Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Paul said the same thing. Ephesians 4. We regard the ones who supposedly equip you. The purpose of leadership, but not a purpose for them to be the ones that stand out and look so deep and righteous. But the purpose of this assignment was for the saints of God. Let's go to, he said, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some peddlers and teachers. What? For what? For the perfecting of the saints. For what? For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. They're going to be trained and equipped. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all come in the unity of the faith and have the knowledge, here we go, and have the knowledge of who? The Son of God. You ain't going to know the Son of God unless you start hearing his words. He said to what? A perfect man. There you go. That word perfect. Spiritual maturity. Discernment. Everything right. No, this is how he says it. He said, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what they live in you right now. The governor that lives in you right now is the fullness of Christ, is the Spirit of God that lives in you. And he said that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, you see it now, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to do what? To See, you got to be equipped to know the difference. A lot of people know the difference because they're not equipped to know. Church was never supposed to be a place to be trained in denominational history or non-denominational history. It was never supposed to be a place, amen, where the leader is being glorified. Are we had to be trained in his philosophy, on his personal revelation, on his vision. Remember I said, you see, his vision. See, Christ only had one vision for the church. Amen. And that vision is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You got to turn to it. In 2 Corinthians, you got to turn to it. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 17, start there. That's the vision for God. It's only been only one vision. Amen. So he said, you'll know him, but you got to be perfected to know him. Now let's go back to Matthew 7. So he said, wherefore, then he said, you will know them by their fruits. He said, not everyone that say unto me, these are believers though, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. What's the will of the Father? The only way you're going to find the will of the Father is you must read. Everything the Lord declared and decreed on his mouth. Every commandment. And the will of the Father is the mind of God. It's the mind of the Father. Everything he said regarding when he taught the culture from Matthew chapter 5 through 7, everything he taught regarding the commandments, everything. He said, if you follow that, you'll make an end. Then he turned around and he's pointed to the leadership. He said, many will say to me in that day. What day he talking about? He's talking about the last day, the day of judgment. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? You can do all the wonderful works and miracles and prophesy all you want. But he's not, I said it the other day, he's not looking at that. He don't care how good you can preach. If you preach in the kingdom, he don't care about none of that. He wants to look at character. Because when you receive his spirit, you receive his character. His morals, his integrity. You receive, to rebel against his character is to rebel against his will. So when you act like him, you are actually walking in rebellion. He says, and I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He said, I don't even know you. What do I? Because you don't act like me. You're not speaking. See, it's a language that we speak when you get the kingdom. It's a mindset. That's why repentance is very imperative. Because when you repent, means you have to change the way you think, change the way you live, change the way you act, and embrace his mind. God understood the language in any garden when Adam and Eve started speaking a different language. Believe me, he knows the language. We had to start speaking his language. Our language is not the way the world talks or the way the world thinks. You can no longer talk the way you talked when you was in the hood or think the way you thought in the hood. You got to develop his mind. Amen. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken unto them a wise man which built his house on what? The rock. Amen. Build his house on what? The kingdom. Build his house on the Christ. He said, as the rain is, they tell me what happens. He said, even when you go through something, he said, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was sounded upon the rock. So you're going to go through all type of things. Didn't it say he was obedient even to the point of death? and death on the cross? He said, those who endure the price, says in Matthew chapter 24, for those who go through persecutions, affliction, temptations, those who endure that shall be saved. But those who bite the bait won't. He said, in the rain, he said, and beat up against their house, but the fall didn't fall. And he said, and anyone that heareth these sayings of mine and do them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall. You built your house on the flesh, or you built your house on religion. Same thing, religion. See, religion and worldly culture is a toxic mix. And when you build your house on that, you have no foundation. Christ's foundation is not built on religion. It's built on the kingdom of God. Amen. And as we look closer at this famous, powerful teaching, you will not find it in no verse, the plan of salvation. But we see a teaching on righteous living. Well, Jesus didn't use this teaching, this kingdom teaching, to preach to unbelievers about his death on the cross. But he taught his disciples about the kingdom of heaven and the kind of righteousness that it takes to enter in. I'm going to point to a couple of verses now about two separate truths. For heaven was eternal life. Let's turn to John chapter 6. We go to heaven and eternal life. John 6. John chapter 6, and I'm going to go through verse 47, it says what? It says, for verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. But see, not believing in Christ is not enough. Believing in Christ means that you have to obey him. A lot of people say they believe in Jesus. You got sinners that say they believe in Jesus. But it's more than just you believing in him. Amen. Let's go to chapter 3 of John. Let's start at verse 34. Says, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. Uh-oh. What did it say? For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Words that Jesus spoke was from the mind of God, the heart of the Father. In verse 45 says, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given him all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth on not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. See, we didn't see this more than just believing. Believe me, you going to do what he commands you to do. Either you believe his words or you don't. Amen. Glory to God. So it is the gift that is freely given to those that believe in Jesus Christ, those that are saved by faith, but an entrance into the visible kingdom of heaven comes with a price. Not only does it require right to live, but it will cost you everything. What did Jesus say? In other words, it's going to cost you the price of self-elimination. It's a death process. Did Jesus say that? I thought about it. I touched that last Friday, right? Let's go to a couple of verses. Let's talk about that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to walk through these verses that we did before. Matthew 18.
You got food there.
You got a lot of food. You'll come and get it tomorrow. These are going to eat it all. Matthew 18. Let's start at verse 1. And we talked about this last week. It said, and it, verse 1 says, at that time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Anybody wonder who was the greatest? John and James are talking about, can I stand on the left side and you, I'll be on the right side of the kingdom of heaven with you? Anybody want to chase greatness? Well, you already great. Greatness does not come according to what the world says you're great. But the world is fickle. One minute they cheer your name, and the next minute they boo you. Look at all these athletes out here. I one of my favorite movies is Rocky. I like Rocky. People might not know. You like race out there. And one of the most famous, one of the most powerful things I remember Rocky's wife saying to him. I think it was Rocky too, when Mr. T beat him up. And she said, Once the smoke clear and anybody forget about your name. When he knows you know, she said, when they're no longer shouting your name, it's just gonna be me and you. Amen. But God has a different perspective. It's different. His knowledge is not like the world. It's a certain way we must act. There's a certain way we got to act in the kingdom. And Jesus began to speak it. He said, they came and asked, they said, who was the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus called a little child unto him. I know he messed him up when he did that. They said, wait a minute, did he hear our question? Did Jesus hear the question? And he sent him, he sent him in the front of him. He said, look, here you go. And he said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because you got to be converted. See, conversion comes through transformation. He said, well, then he said, well, I said, what? Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. See, mindsets have to change in order for you to walk in your purpose. In order for you to walk as a citizen of God's kingdom and a world that you're not of, your mind, you can't think like the world. When people say things about what's going on in the world, or have opinions about what they say, what the government say, what the world say, this is what you got to tell them. Well, I'm not from this world. But get this, and you ain't got to be from it either. I said it again in this broadcast. Jesus came to bring us a new government. But you still got to obey the laws. But God put the laws in the world. But God didn't want to put these laws in. You still got to obey the laws. But you're not under the world system. The world system is corrupted with selfishness and greed and hatred and anger and lust. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All that's wrapped in lust. Let's go do a couple more. Let's go to Mark chapter 10.
Look at that again. Next again. I don't eat that.
Maybe Mark chapter 10.
Oh, I had them yellow bags in there.
Matthew 10.
And I'm going to go to verse 15. Is it 15, y'all? I can't start at 15 now. You're going to say the same thing, y'all.
He said, as they brought young children to him, and think that he should catch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, because of several little children. He said, some little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. He said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. See, it's a process of self-elimination. Amen. And you got to die to you. You ain't going to make it any other way. You got to die to yourself. You got to deny yourself. Amen. Let's go to Mark chapter 8 now. Jesus was teaching. He said it's going to cost you your life. You want to be great in the kingdom, you got to give up your life. Amen. You got to give it up. Let's go to Mark chapter 8, verse 34. He says, and when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me or follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's a denying of self, your self-life. We got to die to ourselves. You cannot receive the kingdom. You will ever be able to understand the kingdom completely unless we deny ourselves. I tell you, there's a mental condition. The sin nature has a mental condition. They think the sinful thinking, they consider sinful thinking as normal, but it's not. But Adam and Eve bit the bait. We took on a different mentality. We took on a mentality of the world. A mentality that's based on sin and lust, hatred, murder, rape, you name it. That's the nature we took on. We took on an evil, corrupted mentality, a mental illness. That's why your mind, when you get born again, your mind has to be healed. Your emotions have to be healed. Excuse me. You have to be healed. Amen. See, the biggest injustice was new members class. Because you were never ministered to in your mind the correct way. You just came to church. You were so excited about being born again. You couldn't tell nobody. You couldn't wait to tell everybody you was born again. Then when you went to that church, you couldn't wait to tell everybody you joined that church. You signed your life away to that church. You couldn't wait. And all the while, the healing process should have begun right there. We sit and fill papers out and ask about gifts and callings. And what we do here, that's the injustice of new members class. Amen. Lord, I spoke to my, I wanted to do a teach on the injustice of new members class. You weren't taught how to be like Christ. You was taught to be like the leadership of the church. They said, you look on us. You want to know what to do? Look on us. What about looking on Jesus? We've just been told to look at Jesus. Often finish of our faith. He humbled himself even to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Amen. We weren't taught them things. We were taught to do what the culture does. The culture of religion. He said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save, ain't gonna look at this part. He said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. For whosoever shall lose his life, listen to the rest of it. For my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. You got to get rid of your life. I tell my kill yourself now. Your flesh is the enemy. We got born again. Your flesh locked over to you. But your flesh is there. Christ came in, broke the power of sin off you, and evicted Satan. And Satan got out, but your flesh was still there. Your flesh is part of the sin nature that wants to remind you of all the things you used to do. He wants to always bring back the old mind and thoughts. Then if he don't do it that way, he'll bring other people. Family is the main ones, boy. Jesus is right about that. Are the main ones that they don't want hard to convince. Better you party with them and drunk with them and cuss and fuss with them. Oh, yeah, and you born again, they're going to keep on bringing it up, but you got to keep on saying, yeah, I used to be like that, but guess what? I remember. Thank God for deliverance. Begin to praise God when you go, well, say what I say. Say, thank you, Jesus. What do you think, Jesus? That I'm no longer like that. Hallelujah. Begin to praise God right in front of them. They don't stop bringing it up. Amen. You know, you can hang out in that club on Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, verse 26 says what? For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There's nothing wrong with wanting to do better. But Christ has to be first in every area in your life. True prosperity comes to those who know who they are. Amen. Worldly prosperity is from Satan. Because as we're in the kingdom, all prosperity comes for those who learn how to live a lifestyle. Then Jesus said to Joshua, he told Joshua, he says, you observe how to live therein. He says, then you will have great success, and I will make your way prosperous. But we got to study. Amen. See, when you begin to embrace the revelation, Christ himself teach you. The Holy Spirit, as your lenses and your eyes are being adjusted from a worldly mentality to a Christ mentality, a kingdom mentality. Your ears will be developed from a worldly ear, religious ear, from a kingdom ear. They say anything got to your lifestyle. See, we're not supposed to be, we're not supposed to live in defeat and live self-defeated and oppressed and depressed and moody. That's the demon. Have you moody? That's the demon. Get rid of them. And make him a ring. He said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed. Oh, I got to read that slow. We got to read this one slow, y'all. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my what? His words. It's going to cost you something. His words. See, I'm going to tell you what Satan does. He don't really do it. It's your enemy, your flesh. He just orchestrated. This is what the enemy does. He will try his best to put in your thoughts things that got nothing to do with God. He'll use TV, music, videos, the computer, friends, frenemies, church folks too. If they ain't that way. He wants to have your mind. His plan. See, the enemy's plan from the very beginning, and use the serpent, was to take Adam and Eve's mind off God. His plan is to snatch the word from you. Didn't you say that in Matthew 13? He said, whoever don't understand the kingdom of God, whoever hears the word of the kingdom and understand it not, and understand it completely, here comes the wicked one. To snatch what was already in your heart. Because you didn't believe it, you didn't try to study. See, once you get revelation, you got to continue studying. Amen. You got to keep on studying it. Let the Holy Spirit teach you. Study as a child. Say, Lord, I don't know. Come to God tonight and say, Lord, I repent. I don't know anything. Now show me the kingdom, and watch He show it to you. He said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words as this adulterous and sinful generation. Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. You know what a shame means? Those who don't preach the message. What a shame means when you want to be carnal, because you don't want to be showing everybody your friend. You want you worry about your friends showing you whole call you a holy thou. Say you when they say that, say thank you. I thought I was slipping. And they said, you are holy as hell. You better shake their hand and hug them and go, thank you. Oh, praise God. You don't put it, when they say that to you, you ain't supposed to get angry. They tell you who you are. You holy as hell. But you can't be holy as hell and religious at the same time either, though. Amen. It's just going to cost you something. Amen. It's going to cost you your life. Hallelujah. I like to call it the process of self-elimination. And Paul pointed it out in Romans 12. Turn to Romans 12. Y'all know where we going. I know we've read these verses over and over again. But I'm going to tell you something. The more you read it, the more it's going to come alive in you. The purpose of the scripture is not purpose on how much you read it. It's not purpose on, oh, I already read that verse. That's the devil. You better keep on reading over and over again. That's why you put it read the Bible, try to be deep or intellectual. You can get an intellectual demon, you better read the correct way. That spirit is a spirit of control that has you so bound up. You trying to be all you want to preach for the purpose of being intellectual and deep. Holy Spirit can't teach you if you got that. Holy Spirit can't teach you like that. Amen. All right, Romans 12, verse 1, what it says? Paul talking now. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, here you go, holy and acceptable to God. That is what? What's your reading? Which is your reasonable service. That's your worship. That's what worship is all about. Worship gonna start. The worship gonna start before you get to the building. You better already have present your bodies to God as a holy. That's why I'm saying, and maybe anybody don't need to worship. Well, they're not presenting. They're not presenting their bodies, pervert. They might be doing some stuff they got up in his door. They say you present your bodies as holy, living sacrifice to God. That is your reasonable service of worship. This is a death process. We got to die to that, our thoughts and our minds, what we want to do, and what will make us feel good. He said, you present your bodies holy and acceptable to God. That is worship. Worship ain't just you coming together and singing and dancing and all that stuff. If you ain't, you can sing and dance and still be living in sin. You can sing and you can dance and sing and play instruments, do all you want to do, and you can still go to hell. Amen. All right, that verse says what? And be not conformed, to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation time. That you may do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. It's called the process of self-elimination. That's what transformation is. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. I already said it, but we're going to turn. I already read the Acts, but we'll do it. We can say it. I just already quoted it. Basically, when I talk about Matthew 13, about understanding the kingdom. So let's go to Matthew 13. Remember these are the words of Jesus now, y'all. Verse 44 says what? And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. And for joy thereof, goeth and he selleth all that he had and buyeth that field. The kingdom of heaven is just like a treasure hid in the field, right? So in other words, it's something very special. Not obvious for all to see. I tell you, your lens got to change. And those that are not seeking to find the kingdom or to understand the mysteries of the kingdom will pass right over this great treasure and not even know what they're missing. In this case, the treasure isn't hidden. The treasure isn't buried in the field, for it is hidden in the parables. And instead of using a pick or a shovel, those that seek to understand the mission of the kingdom of God, they must find it by revelation. That's the hidden treasure. You got to find the hidden treasure by revelation. So with that in mind, amen, let's go back to the conclusion of the culture of the kingdom that Jesus was teaching. And what did Jesus say about this mystery? That is mystery of the kingdom of heaven and who will enter in. Now we read that, right? He said, for those who do the will of my Father. He said, now everyone that saith unto me, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but they that do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, right? He said, many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we prophesied in our name, and let our name cast out devils, and in our name done many miracles. Now once again, this talking is about a future kingdom, the soon coming kingdom. The kingdom is present right now inside of every believer. Amen. But there's also a kingdom to come. And entrance into that kingdom, that takes place when we see Jesus face to face. He said, many will say to me in that day, that's what we're talking about. He said, so even though we have been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of his son, this is talking about the entrance that is yet to come. For this is a day coming when we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that day, many will try to enter into the kingdom of heaven. For all that say, Lord, 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 without the heart and will of God, are not entering in. You see, the kingdom of heaven has yet to appear. Let's turn to Luke chapter 19. See, Paul talks to Jesus talking about the kingdom, the present kingdom, that is not every believer, and also a soon coming kingdom. Let's go to Luke chapter 19.
Verse 11.
It says, and as they heard these things, he added and spake in a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. But when he does, we are going to see a glorious city with gates on every side. Amen. That's Revelation. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. So let's go to verse 10. It says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descended out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it had a wall great and high, and it had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, on the west, 3 gates. Gates that are going to separate, these gates are going to separate those that made Christ their Savior and King, and from those that sought for the treasures, found the treasures, and then gave everything they had to do the will of God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. These gates are those who just said, for those who done the will of my Father, those who obeyed, for those who gave up everything to follow him. That's why he said at the very beginning, when he said that the parables, that he speak in mysteries. But he said, but it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. For these are the ones that are humble in spirit and are hungry and gave up everything to follow him. Go to Matthew 7 again. Matthew 7. Looking at the fences of tomorrow, I'm seeing the time I got. Matthew 7. Matthew 7. And we just read it, right? Verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go and thereat. That's going to just go to chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And let's look at verse 11. And it says, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing. The kingdom he's talking about is the kingdom of darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, then let's go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. And let's go to verse 1. It says, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that they were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden. You have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and our things are ready, coming to the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore to the highways, and as many as shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests.
So I'm going to read this too.
And when the king came into the secret guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou and hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. And let's go to Matthew chapter 25. He's talking about the eternal, he's talking about the eternal one. Matthew 25. Matthew, I'm going to write some great reviews on your own. Matthew chapter 25. Write this down. Matthew 25, verse 1 to 30. Luke chapter 13. And remember, this is regarding the treasure that's found, the ones that gave everything they had to do the will of the Father. Luke chapter 13, verse 24-29. Revelation chapter 21, verse 9-13. And Revelation 22, verse 14. So Revelation, I'm saying it again, so you gotta write them down. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 to 30. Luke chapter 13, verse 24 to 29. Revelation 21, verse 9 to 13. And Revelation 22, verse 14. So if we want to walk through the gates of his kingdom, we need to make Jesus our Lord and Master and Savior and live by his doing and what he said. But not every believer that says, Lord, 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 will enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's very these words are very powerful, Jesus said. He said, but only ones who make it are those who do the will of his Father. So his will is actually very simple. We must keep all his commandments, especially the main two ones, the two main ones that Jesus preached. Amen. The ones that are listed in Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Son of verse 1. time. Shorten this up. Man, but I'll just let you write these things along for it, but I got time. Study verse 8. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Say that John was talking about, right? The word of law of liberty, right? James chapter 2. He said, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandments, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh not no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. See, love fulfills the whole law. And that knowing that the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Amen, amen. The Bible says to put on the new man, which is in Christ. Amen. He said, for putting on that new man. Let's go to Ephesians. Let's read a couple of verses. Then we're going to close one out. I know y'all want to watch y'all eat your Eagles game. Go ahead, come on. Ephesians chapter 4. That Ephesians 4. Then we're going to close out for the rest of the night. We have to put on the new man. Amen. Ephesians 4. I got on Ephesians 3. Let's go to verse 17. He said, this I say, therefore, and testify the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. Now, he was talking to Gentile believers. He said, don't walk as the heathen Gentiles walk. In the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who, being past feeling, had given themselves over to what? Lasciviousness. We talked about lasciviousness before. You dress any kind of way you want. Don't care. To work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. When he's saying this, he told me, you have so not learned the culture. You know the culture. You've been taught the culture. You didn't say earlier, a couple of verses earlier, he said, as you was perfected, you must be perfected. He says, so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning the former conversation, but that means the old man in life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We must be renewed. Amen. We have to understand this lifestyle. Or live this lifestyle, our mind must be renewed. And be renewed in the spirit of my mind. Then he said, that you put off the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And you draw the new, put off the new man, which is created, was God after God created in righteousness and true holiness. So now you're created in righteousness and holiness, but you got to put it on. You can't go from. See, one of the worst things they told us in religion that the Spirit of God goes and comes. You know that's Old Testament. An Old Testament, the Old Testament life, when the Spirit of God came upon mighty men of God and left. But this Holy Spirit do not leave you. He won't leave you. He lives in you now. So you were taught the wrong way. The Holy Spirit lives in you. So you have the ability to put on the new man and live the lifestyle as a citizen of God's kingdom. Amen? Glory to God. Let's go to one more. We're going to close one out. Go to Colossians chapter 3.
Now, first, let's go to Colossians 1. I know we're about to go to Colossians 1. Start at verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. That word meet means able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who has done what? God, now who did this? The Father has delivered us from the power of the men or kingdom of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It was the purpose of the cross, the purpose of the cross. See, Paul didn't preach the cross. Paul preached the purpose of the cross. The purpose of the cross is for what? For our redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That was the purpose. But if you die, that was the purpose. That was the purpose of salvation, that you got born again. But now you have to learn how to live the lifestyle now. And that's a lifestyle as citizens of the kingdom. And who we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and all things he might have preeminence. Amen. Guess who the other one, secondborn of the dead? You are. You were born from the dead. You're dead. Your flesh died. Amen. You no longer live. But you got to make it up and control you. Like Colossians chapter 3. So verse 1. If ye then been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now the mindset now, when Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. For ye are dead. You hear that? You are dead. You live in the church right now, but tell them to turn your name and tell them you're dead. He said, you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ and God. You walk in a new revelation. You walk in a new mindset. He said, when Christ, who is of life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Brother, what are they? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil consumptions, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things say the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, that's who we once were, and the which you also walked some time. You talk about your past, which you lived in them. But now, you also put off all these. Put this other stuff off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, all that cussing and talking crazy, out of your mouth. Telling them dirty jokes. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge as the image of him that created him. Amen. All right, God bless you all. We're going to close on out, and we'll finish this tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah. Continue talking about the words of Jesus. Amen. The powerful words of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we just going to close on out. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your revelation of your kingdom, God. We thank you, God, for letting us understand that it is truly an urgency. That we go out to all the world teaching, baptizing in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching, once again, teaching them to observe all things that you have commanded us to teach. That you have commanded, other than what you taught us, Lord. You instructed us to do what you command us to do. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that was a teacher. We thank you, Father God, for this revelation. We understand the revelation is not to make us intelligent or deep, but to make us teachable and humble, obedient, walking in the same character that you did, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. You gave us the example.
when you send your son, the Christ, the Christos, the anointed Messiah King, as being is Christ, the Son of Man, amen, to be an example to us. Hallelujah. You was an example, Father. The Bible said that you was tempted at all points. You was tempted to sin at all points, but you didn't sin. And that same power that you put inside of us, not to be tempted to sin, amen, not to be tempted to backslide, not to be tempted, amen, to live the lifestyle of the world, to backslide into this world system, but to stay focused on the kingdom, on seeking the kingdom, Lord, and seeking you, seeking your kingdom and your righteousness as our number one priority, seeking your active reign over our lives. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. And we glorify you. We magnify you, God. I thank you for those who are listening, that they continue to be increased in spiritual revelation, increased in spiritual knowledge, increased in spiritual wisdom, increased and spiritual understanding, the perfect will, glory to God, and that is to be just like you, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for those who received their healing this evening, for those who received their deliverance, and for those who want to receive you, Lord. Glory to God. We thank you, Father, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Once again, we want to thank everyone for tuning in. Kingdom New Birth Radio broadcast. You've been blessed by the teaching, desire prayer, or counseling, or you want to come out for preaching engagements. All you got to do is one thing. Dial 267-407-3646. That's 267-407-3646. Or you can just write it to an email at prophet.bram@gmail.com. That's prophet.bradley@gmail.com. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All my Facebook friends, hit me up on Facebook. Amen. Glory to God. We talk about the broadcast as well. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. Once again, I'm going to thank everyone for listening to the broadcast. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Go enjoy the rest of your football games. Amen. I love you. God bless you. I'm going to encourage you to just keep on continuing seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness as your number one priority. Amen. We always like to close out by saying this. Satan is defeated. Darkness is dispelled because Jesus is Lord. Amen. Good evening, everyone. God bless you all.
Are you driven by a passion to discover your divine destiny? Ready to discover your purpose and fulfill your God-given potential? You can at Church on the Mall, the Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, Sundays at 9 a.m. Rediscover the kingdom and discover your purpose, identity, and divine destiny. For more information, call 267-357-9816. The kingdom of God is now eternal, and it's your time. Don't miss your moment. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God will supply your needs. See you at Church on the Mall this Sunday at 9 a.m. The Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, Cheltenham Avenue in Washington Lane. It's your time for change. For more information, call 267-357-9816.
This is Dr. Lynn Robinson, and I approve this message.
This message paid for by the faithful supporters of Kingdom Vision Ministries International, the Kingdom Church on the Mall. Live the kingdom-driven life now.